Good day and welcome to today's message on the beauty of Pentecost. We are in part 5 already. Now, up to this point in our mini-series, we've looked at God's dwellings and we've looked at quite a bit of evidence which basically shows us that somebody is indeed indwelled by the Holy Spirit. Now, today, we're going to spend a few moments or a few minutes to look at one example of someone who was basically prepared by the Holy Spirit and to be an example for us. And it's obviously it's in scripture. Our example comes from Acts chapter 20 verse 16 to 38, and I think you would have guessed it that the example that we're going to look at is the Apostle Paul. Now what we're going to do is I'm not going to read the passage for now. What I will do is, as we go through the text, we will read the different verses. Before we continue, let's just have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you so much that we can come to you in Jesus' name. Thank you for your love and kindness towards us. Thank you for your indwelling Spirit. God, the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity that dwells within us. And the amazing ministry that we can see that flowed from the work of the Holy Spirit. May that also be true in our lives, Father, we pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Now, in our passage, we read about the Apostle Paul. And what happened was, he felt this powerful prompting. He actually felt compelled by the Holy Spirit to go to Jerusalem, even though there was prophesied by others that he will be put in chains, that he will experience tribulation, that all those things were waiting for him in Jerusalem. Now, I'd like to start off by asking you a question. Have you ever felt the prompting of the Holy Spirit to do something? And you feel it is so strong, that prompting is so strong, that you just know that you have to do whatever the Spirit wants you to do, no matter what it takes. Now, if you have, then you will know exactly what the Apostle Paul was experiencing when he experienced that prompting of the Holy Spirit to go to Jerusalem. Now, in verses 17 to 23 of our passage, the Apostle Paul is basically speaking to the Ephesian elders. He told them that he didn't hold anything back from him. He preached to them. Later on, we read that he preached the whole counsel of God to them. In verse 22 and verse 23, he tells them the following, and I would like to read that to you. He says, "And see, now I go bound in the Spirit to Jerusalem, not knowing the things that will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit testifies in every city, saying that chains and tribulations await me." So Paul was bound in his spirit to go to Jerusalem, even though the Holy Spirit was speaking through believers and warned him that he was going to be put in prison and that he would experience hard times. Now, we know from Acts chapter 21, verse 4 to 17, that there were some of the believers who didn't want Paul to go. They kind of insisted on him not going. But the thing is, if you read about the life of the Apostle Paul, Paul knew what it felt like when the Holy Spirit impressed something on his heart. He just had to be obedient. I mean, even though the Holy Spirit revealed to him that there were going to things that was going to happen that wasn't going to be good. He was kind of walking into the mouth of the lion, but he was still willing to do it. He was still willing to go. Now, why would he still go to Jerusalem knowing what was going to happen to him? Now, I believe that our passage just gives us an answer to this. Because when we read the passage, it is like looking at a snapshot of the Apostle Paul's life. You can actually read through the whole life of the Apostle Paul, and what we see here is kind of a snapshot of his life. It's clear from our passage that Paul only had one desire in his life, and that desire was to serve the Lord Jesus Christ, the one that he persecuted. Now, you remember, he persecuted the church, and he knew that he was persecuting Christ when Jesus said to him, "Why are you persecuting me?" You see, it didn't matter what the cost was going to be to Paul. He just wanted to serve the Lord. And he had to do what he was prompted to do in his spirit. Now the thing is, and this is kind of reading, not between the lines, but we need to see the work of the Holy Spirit. Because the work of the Holy Spirit is in the background. The Holy Spirit is working where we sometimes cannot see Him at work, even though we can see the results of the Holy Spirit at work. So, I mean, where did this desire of the Apostle Paul come from to serve the Lord? I mean, was it something that Paul had in himself? Was it something in his person? No. It was the work of the indwelling Holy Spirit in him. Because you'll note that Paul said that he was bound in the Spirit. That was in his own spirit. Nah? But who did it? It was the Holy Spirit who caused him, who basically enabled him. It was the Holy Spirit who prompted him. It was the Holy Spirit who worked this massive desire in Paul to go to Jerusalem, to be obedient to this prompting, this bounding in the Spirit that he experienced. Now, to be bound, by the way, means to feel obligated to do something. It basically means that you do something without having a choice to do it. It was as if Paul felt forced to do it. But it didn't bother him. He knew what this prompting was. He knew what it meant to feel this desire to do something that comes from within. He knows what it meant to be bound in the Spirit. That's why he was obedient. He learned to be obedient to the Holy Spirit. See, the prompting to go to Jerusalem was so strong that Paul just had to do it. Even though he had a choice, obviously, he could decide not to go. He could grieve the Holy Spirit. He could not be obedient to the Holy Spirit. But Paul felt as if he didn't have a choice. You see, beloved, his devotion to Christ was stronger than his desire to do his own will and for his own desires and his own pleasures and his own will to be accomplished in him. And this came from the Holy Spirit who worked it in Paul. It wasn't something that Paul had in himself. Obviously, Paul had certain personality characteristics. Obviously, Paul could have been a very disciplined person. Paul could have been a stubborn person in the sense of what he started he would do. But his love for Christ, his service for Christ, the fact that he wanted to do the will of God, that didn't come from himself, because we know from the life of Paul before that he was opposed to the work of Christ. He was opposed to Christ. He was an enemy of God as he persecuted the church. So this came from the Holy Spirit that dwelled within him. All right, now when we go to verses 18 to 21, We see that he had given everything he had up to this point. But Paul was one of those people who gave it his all. He didn't keep anything back. And this is what he told the Ephesian elders when we read from verse 18. He says, "You know, from the first day that I came to Asia, in what manner I always lived among you." You see, Paul set the example. Can you see that? Verse 19 says, "Serving the Lord with all humility, with many tears and trials which happened to me by the pointing of the plotting of the Jews. How I kept back nothing that was helpful, but proclaimed it to you and taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying to Jews and also to Greeks, repentance towards God and faith towards our Lord Jesus Christ." Can you see? Paul gave it his all. He's such an amazing example of someone who did not hold anything back. He gave it his all. It was as if Paul put everything on the line for the sake of Christ and the gospel. You know what? I believe that we should not hold anything back either. Obviously, it's because of the Holy Spirit's enabling power. It's not because of ourselves. We should put everything on line for Christ and for the gospel. It should be a characteristic of a believer that they are willing to put everything on the line for Christ and serving Christ and the gospel, the preaching of the gospel. You see, Paul is the one who shows us here in our passage that it is possible to give our all. And if he could do it, we can do it. We have the Holy Spirit indwelling us, beloved. It's not as if we are different to the Apostle Paul. We have the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit indwells every single believer. That's the beauty of Pentecost. You see, it's not as if the Holy Spirit indwelt Paul, then he indwells us. No! The Holy Spirit indwells us in His fullness because He is a person. It is the third person of the Trinity. If you have the Holy Spirit, you have the third person of the Trinity indwelling you. Don't ask me to explain that to you. I can't. But it's true. The Holy Spirit, the person, the third person of the Trinity, indwells us just like He indwelled the Apostle Paul. So if He made the Apostle Paul an example for us, it was the work of the Holy Spirit, and that's what the Holy Spirit did in him. He made him an example. That's an example that we can follow. We can trust the Holy Spirit completely. And when the Holy Spirit prompts us to do something, when the Holy Spirit kind of bounds us and we feel bound in the Spirit, then we will do what the Holy Spirit wants us to do. We have an example that we can follow. Paul did it. Obviously, he was put in chains. He went through tribulation. But it was all for the sake of Christ and for the gospel and the spreading of gospel to Rome. All right. But anyway, in verse 22 we read. And this is what Paul, what we read. He says, "And see, now I go bound in the Spirit to Jerusalem," Paul saying to the Ephesian elders, "not knowing the things that will happen to me." So it's clear that even though Paul was fully committed to serving Christ, and that he actually could stay where he was, it's clear from our text that he actually had no choice in his assignment. He was bound in the Spirit. You see, his choices were already made by God. God directed Paul's footsteps. And he learned through the years that it is the best thing to just go along with the Holy Spirit's leading. Because you will actually always end up where God wants you to be. Whether you do it in a kind of rebellion, not rebellion, but stubbornness, not wanting to do what God wants, or whether you do it freely, you're going to end up where God wants you. Now, in our passage, we see that Paul was clearly compelled by the Holy Spirit to go to Jerusalem. And you can see that there were times in Paul's ministry, if you read about Paul's ministry, that he wanted to go somewhere, but the Holy Spirit prevented him from going. It's as if, I want to go there and there and there. But the Holy Spirit stopped him. There were even a time when Paul was stopped by the devil to go somewhere. And once again, it was the Lord that allowed it. Because it's God who actually guides our life and directs our footsteps. Now, one thing is for sure. As we look at the life of the Apostle Paul, he learned to trust the Holy Spirit's leading in his life. And I believe what an example for us so that we can do the same. We can trust the leading of the Holy Spirit. Even if we're going to go into a jail or be put into jail or whether we are going to face tribulation, the Holy Spirit will not lead us where His grace and His power will not sustain us. We can face everything because the Holy Spirit is with us. Now look at verse 24. Paul says, "But none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself, so that I may finish my race with joy and the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God." You see, none of the things, the fact that he was going to put in chains, the fact that we're going to experience tribulation, did not move him. In the sense of moving him to make a decision contrary to what the Spirit wanted him to do. What we see is, we see Paul's motives. Because Paul's motive was to complete his earthly race. And if this was the point where his race would end, if he goes to Jerusalem, and that's the point where he would be put in prison, experience tribulation, and then die for the sake of the gospel, then so be it. Paul knew, Paul was kind of, he had this attitude of invincibility until God decides that it's time for him to go home. You see, he understood that he was in a race. He was in a marathon. You start the race, you run it, and there comes a point where you will finish the race. Paul understood it. And if Jerusalem was the place where he finished his race, that's it. It's fine. You see, God, he knew that God already planned his race in advance. And he just wanted to finish the race. And if the Holy Spirit prompts him to go to Jerusalem and that's where his race ends, that's fine. Can you see the focus of this man? You see, beloved, we all have to run a race. And this race of our life is actually mapped out by God himself. And it's my prayer that we will learn not to fight the race, but that we will finish it with boldness like the Apostle Paul, to the glory of God. You see, Paul was used by God in wonderful ways through the years. Paul knew that his life was in God's hands. And here is a possibility for his marathon to finish. And Paul was ready for it. He was okay with it. So we see that Paul just wanted to run the race well. And at the end, according to Hebrews, to receive the victor's crown. He wanted to preach the gospel. And you can see through Paul's lifetime, you can see he just wanted to preach the gospel to as many people as possible. Those who haven't heard the good news, he just wanted to preach the gospel to them. Because he knew he was preaching a perfect message. He knew that the gospel was the message that would get the job done. You see, he didn't want to use new methods, a new message and all kind of persuasive techniques to catch people to follow him. No. He knew the gospel was enough. He just needed to preach the gospel. He knew that he just had to bring the gospel message, the good news of the gospel to people, because the gospel is the means which God uses to draw sinners to himself and save them. Obviously, it's done by the Holy Spirit, and it's the Holy Spirit that opens up the eyes, and it's the Holy Spirit that regenerates, and it's the Holy Spirit that fills the person. Paul knew these things, but it's the gospel, the preaching of the gospel, that is the power of God unto salvation. Beloved, I believe that we should also chill. Stop with all these gimmicks and things that we want to do. We should just continue to preach the gospel. Share the gospel to people. Because the power of God, or the gospel, is the power of God unto salvation. And I think, just speaking about it, we need to be careful not to focus our attention on secondary issues and miss the opportunities that the Lord gives us to actually share the gospel. I was speaking to someone this week, and specifically with regards to this issue between Israel and Hamas. You know, we know basically that the Muslims mostly support Hamas. And this causes tension with specifically evangelical Christians who support Israel. Right, so it's easy to have this this quarrel, or this debate, or this to and fro, throwing of words. Who is to blame? You know, who is the one who is actually the aggressor in this? Is it Hamas or is it Israel? Who's to blame here? And it's so easy for us to lose focus of, it's an opportunity to preach the gospel. What an opportunity for us to say to someone, you know what, yeah, I can see that there's no peace between Hamas and Israel. But you know, there can only be peace between Israel and Hamas in the person of Jesus Christ, because it's Jesus Christ who made peace between us and God, because we were once alienated from God. We were once in war with God, just like Israel and Hamas is in war with one another. And now, God has sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die on our behalf so that we can now have peace with God. And when we have peace with God, we can have peace with all people, because we can live in peace with them. And there can only be peace in between Hamas and Israel if the Jews come to true knowledge of Jesus Christ, saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, and Hamas, the Muslims, when they come to faith in Jesus Christ. I mean, what does it help to win an argument about who the aggressor is in the conflict between Israel and Hamas, but I don't use the opportunity to share the good news of the gospel, so that both Jews and Gentiles can have peace with God, and also peace with one another because of the sacrificial death of Jesus Christ on the cross. See, Paul knew that the gospel was supposed to be the focus of his ministry. Not just supposed to be. Paul knew it was the focus of his ministry, and that's why he preached the gospel. That's what he did. That was his desire. Even if he was put in chains, put in jail, and experienced tribulation in Jerusalem, even if he had to die, he knew it would open up opportunities for him to share the gospel. Especially if he was put in chains, he would be able to preach the gospel in prison, and he would do it. Because that was Paul's focus. He was focused on the gospel and not his own well-being. And by the way, it's only the indwelling Holy Spirit that works it in us to be gospel-centered. We will not ever be gospel-centered on our own. It is the Holy Spirit who works it in us. Now we see in verse 24 that Paul was not moved by what he was going to face in Jerusalem. His whole life had already been placed on the altar, and he was willing to be sacrificed to the glory of God. Yeah, I mean, through the years in ministry, Paul counted the cost. And I mean, he decided early on that Jesus was worth more than anything else in his life. We read that very specifically in Philippians chapter 3. Christ was his all in all. Paul was willing to lose his life because he knew who he would lose it for. If he would lose his life for the sake of Christ, oh, what a joy to Paul, because Jesus was everything to him. Beloved, what an example. What an example. What we need to remember, that Paul was not doing this because of his own excellence. He wasn't this amazing guy all by himself. No. The amazing thing is it was the Holy Spirit in Paul who enabled him to become this amazing example for all who would come after him. We should never think that Paul was a superhuman. Because, beloved, he wasn't. Paul was filled with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was the one who made Paul the kind of example the Holy Spirit wanted him to be. Now, when we go down to verse 25 to 35, we see the kind of legacy that Paul left behind. I mean, wow. Paul could actually leave Ephesus. And he could knowingly do it because he has done such an amazing work. He was excellent in what he did in Ephesus. Once again, he didn't do it in his own strength, in his own power. He did it in and through the power of the Holy Spirit. It was the Holy Spirit who enabled him to do this excellent job and leave this amazing legacy behind in Ephesus. We read in Acts chapter 20 that they heard the full counsel of God. They knew what they were supposed to do for the Lord. But Paul actually put leaders in place and he trained them to continue with the work. But then we also see that there was this bond between Paul and the church. This is so beautiful. Verse 36 to 38, we read the following. And when he had said these things, so Paul had now explained to the church what was going to happen to the leadership, they must have been broken. And we see it here. He knelt down and prayed with them all. Verse 37, then they all wept freely. Why? Why did they weep? See, because there was a bond between them and Paul. Paul poured out himself in that church. They knew him. They knew his motives was pure. And now they knew he was going to go to Jerusalem. He's going to be bound by chains and he's going to go through tribulation. And who wants a fellow brother or sister to go through this? So they wept. They cried with Paul. They felt on Paul's neck. They kissed him. Can you see the affection that was there? That's only possible through the Holy Spirit. You think it is the Ephesian church that was that cool? Or it was Paul that was such a good teacher and preacher? No, it was the Holy Spirit that made them one. The unity was created by the Holy Spirit who dwelled in each one of them. But they were human. They had a connection with Paul. Yes, that connection was the Holy Spirit who enabled that connection. But they cried. They hugged him because they knew chances are they're never going to see him again. Then we get to verse 38. He says, sorrowing most of all for the words which he spoke, that they would see his face no more. And they accompanied him to the ship. Oh, what a day. What a day it must have been. Knowing here goes a pillar, an example. They're no longer going to see him. Maybe they experienced a little bit of what the disciples experienced when Jesus died. Nah? When Jesus was taken prisoner. And he was about to be crucified. What the disciples experienced. Maybe the disciples in, or the church in Ephesus experienced a little bit of what their disciples went through. But you see, as Paul left, everything was placed in the hands of God. It was sad that Paul was going to face chains and tribulation. But I believe that they were all strengthened by the Holy Spirit. Because that's what the Holy Spirit does. Because they knew that God was in control. Beloved, when all is in God's hands, then all is well, even though it might not seem or feel as if it's well. And may we never forget that God, the God we worship, is a sovereign Lord. He is in absolute control of every situation of our lives. We can see it in the life of the Apostle Paul. So we can have confidence in God. We can have confidence in the indwelling Holy Spirit. As we place our lives and our future in His hands, and as He prompts us to be obedient to what He says, no matter what is going to happen. Beloved, let me conclude. The Apostle Paul's life and his ministry, I believe, is an example. Yeah. An example that the Holy Spirit set up. So that we can see how He works. And that we don't have to be concerned and afraid of things that we're going to face in the future, even if He prompts us, even if He bounds us in our spirit to go and do something where we will be put in prison or we will experience tribulation. Paul is an example of someone who is sold out to Christ. I mean, he was obedient to the prompting of the Holy Spirit, even though he knew what was going to happen to him. And even if we don't know, we can still trust Him. And we see in Paul that he was gospel-focused, and this is something the Holy Spirit worked in him. And he left a legacy behind. Wow, that is amazing to see, and it's all because of the Holy Spirit. And it's all because of Pentecost. You see, the beauty of Pentecost is in the fact that God, the Holy Spirit, indwelled believers on that day, and He still indwells believers even today. And He is the one who works it in us and through us to accomplish His purposes and His plans. What we need to do is to become sensitive like Paul, to do as He calls us. When we are bound in the Spirit to do something as Paul was bound, may we all be moved in the direction that the Holy Spirit leads us. And we can know that the God that we serve, the God of the Bible, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, He will make sure that whatever we need will be given to us as we need it. Even if we go to where chains and tribulation awaits us, like Paul did. May we, like Paul, go and do what the Holy Spirit leads us to do. May we go to where the Holy Spirit leads us. May we all run the race that is set before us and finish it in and through the indwelling Holy Spirit. That, beloved, is the beauty of Pentecost. Let's pray. Father, thank You for an example like Paul, a human being like us. The difference then was that he was filled with the Holy Spirit, and that's the difference between the old Paul and the new Paul. And us, we too have the Holy Spirit, Father. May we live the kind of lives following the example of Paul, so that You may be glorified in and through our lives. Oh, Father, may this be the desire worked in us by the Holy Spirit. May this week that we have these special messages, Father, may it work in us so that we can say to You, and I want to say to You, I want to be like Paul. Yes, I want to look like Christ, but when it comes to ministry, a human being that I can follow that's exactly like me, wow, this example of Paul is such an example. Help me, Father. Enable me to not just hear this message today, but to act upon it, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you very much for once again listening. God willing, until tomorrow. And then Sunday, God willing, will be our last message in the series at the church, obviously. So it will be broadcast live. But until tomorrow, where we continue to look at the beauty of Pentecost. May the Lord be with you. May His face shine upon you, and may He give you His peace in and through the indwelling Holy Spirit. Bye-bye.